The disciples were used to being confused. The disciples were used to being in a position where they couldn't figure out what Jesus was doing. In fact, we have several times where they came to Jesus and said, "What did you say? What does it mean?" Well, they'd ask a question after a miracle, trying to help get some kind of context. I mean, yes, they had walked with Jesus for 3 years, but they had never comprehended him. Several times Jesus looks at them and says, "How long do I have to be with you before you get it?" But this week, this past week had been something that the disciples would spend the rest of their lives trying to understand, trying to put together. It started off with Sunday when they had come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a little donkey, and the people had erupted in a spontaneous celebration. They had put their coats down in front of the donkey so his hooves did not touch the dirt. They had celebrated by waving palm trees, celebrating a returning king. They couldn't get enough of Jesus that day. The religious leaders, the political leaders had also noticed this king who was returning to Jerusalem. Oh, make no mistake, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was coming into Jerusalem telling everybody who would listen, "Jerusalem belongs to me. I am its rightful king." Tuesday, the religious leaders began to challenge him after what they had seen. On Monday, Jesus goes into the temple and sees all of the tables where the people had set up, where they could buy and sell sacrifices, where they could exchange their money for the only type of coins that were accepted in the temple for a sacrifice. There was a little racket going on out front, and Jesus stepped into this and turned over the tables and chased off the animals and said, My father said, my house will be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a den of thieves. The interesting thing about the story of that is that nobody challenged Jesus. Now, I'm thinking, if I'm a little guy and I make my living here exchanging coins or selling little doves and everything, and Jesus turns over my table, he and I are going to have a discussion. And he's going to help me put my table back up. But nobody said that. When he turned over the tables, they said, "That's okay, Jesus, I'll clean it up." There was something about him. There was something about the look on his face that they knew they had better not challenge him. Not now. Thursday night, he had gathered the disciples to celebrate the Passover. Each of them had done the Passover before. They knew it by heart. They knew the story of Moses. They knew the story of Egypt. They knew the story of the slavery and how God had miraculously set his people free and how they had to eat standing up and eat on the run. And then Jesus reinterprets it in a way it would take them a long time to fully grasp. "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you." A few hours later, he was arrested. The disciples were caught off guard. No one thought Jesus would be arrested, not with all of the people in Jerusalem for Passover, but the religious and political leaders thought they were running out of time. And so in a matter of hours, they pushed Jesus through a kangaroo court. He was handed over to the soldiers to be tortured and prepared for crucifixion. And Friday, he was on a cross. Not one of the disciples defended him. Not one came to his aid. They ran. They hid. When he was finally dead, the soldiers gave him permission to take the body down. They buried Jesus in a tomb that was borrowed from a friend. They went back to the place where they were hiding behind locked doors, afraid that they would be the ones next. After all, Jesus has said, "You see the way they treat the shepherd, look for the way that they'll treat the sheep." And so they do what grieving people do. You've gone back home after a funeral, right? What do? You eat. You tell stories. You may even laugh again, but you're trying to think through what life is going to be like now without the person who has died. So the disciples are looking at each other, trying to figure out what is life going to be like now that Jesus is gone. The women were gathering together what they would need to be part of the funeral service that they would complete that next Sunday morning. But this was Sabbath right now. You couldn't do any kind of work like that on the Sabbath. They would just have to wait. And they barely waited. It was sunrise on Sunday. The disciples would be confused again. Let's pick up the story there in John chapter 20. Stand with me in honor of God's word. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciples went out and headed for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came, but he entered the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the other cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and he believed. For they did not yet understand all of the scriptures that said that he must die from the dead. And the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Let's pick up with verse 19. When the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I now send you." And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, then they are retained." This is God's word for God's people. Hear it. Believe it. And live. Let's pray together. As you came to the disciples so long ago, we pray, Lord Jesus, you will come to us in this place. We're just as confused, we're just as anxious, and we need you just as much. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, they had been confused before, but now this day was just getting nuts. They were still trying to get their head around all that had happened when Mary Magdalene bust in and tells Peter and John, "The tomb's empty. The rock's been moved. He's not there." Now, this was a fear of the disciples, that in order to further discount Jesus or to further humiliate Jesus, they would take his body and they would rob him of the dignity of a proper funeral. It's also a teaching of the enemies of Christ that Jesus did not really die or that he was not really raised from the dead, that we just stole his body and hid it. We've hid it really well. Nobody's been able to find it for 2,000 years. But Peter and John couldn't figure out what was going on. You see, Mary was obviously a woman, and in those days, the testimony of a woman was not valid. They couldn't testify in court because you were a woman. I don't see many emails. I'm just telling you the historical context, okay? That's not Mike. I'm just telling you, all right? So Peter and John go to check it out to make sure. Now, of all the things John could tell us about the story, now understand, this is Easter. This is the most incredible story that the world has ever heard. The one thing he wants you to be sure you get about this is that he's faster than Peter. You see, one of the reasons I believe the Bible is that, yes, it tells us the truth about Jesus, it tells the truth about God, but it tells us the truth about guys. Okay, every guy in here knows exactly what happened when they started running. And they know exactly why John told us he was fastest. You know these guys had raced before, right? Last one to the boat to Rotten Egg, off you go. This had happened before. John wants you to know I was the fastest. Peter wants you to know he was the first to go in. Found the cloths. Found the cloth that they had wrapped his head with. The one thing they were missing was Jesus. Peter couldn't figure it out. Or maybe Peter didn't want to figure it out. What would you be thinking if you were Peter? When the last time you saw Jesus, you knew that he knew that you had denied him, not once, not twice, not three times. Three times you had denied him, and now Jesus isn't where you put him. John believes. John says on the way back, you know the conversation. John says, this is what Jesus was talking about. It's all making sense. And they get back and they lock the doors. Now they're trying to explain. Mary Magdalene tells her story again. Peter tells what he saw. John tells what he saw. They can't figure it out. Nothing makes sense. Where is Jesus? What are we going to do now? And Jesus is there. Did you hear a door open? Did you hear footsteps? Wasn't anybody paying attention? We know there are people looking for us who want to kill us, and now Jesus just walks in. Yeah. It was time the disciples knew that Jesus wouldn't let anything keep him from his friends, not even death itself. And now Jesus tells them, peace. Now, of all the things Jesus could have said, why that? Why peace? Now, there was a lot of times he had to say this to the disciples. A lot of times they would freak out. Okay? They're caught in the storm in the boat. Jesus is asleep. Remember the story? They have to wake Jesus up to tell him they're going to die. Jesus, you may want to wake up. We're all going to die. That's what they say. Jesus gets up and goes, where's your faith? Don't you have any faith? Not when the boat's filling up with water. No, we do not have any faith. He walks across the water. He sends them ahead in the boat. He walks across, going to meet him on the other side. Remember, they see him and think he's a ghost. There was all kinds of stories about sailors who had died in Galilee, and they would come up from the bottom and grab you and pull you down. That's true. And now they were thinking, uh-oh. They don't think it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. Isn't it funny? In those most intense moments of your life, you revert to your childhood. It's a ghost. Why? Well, that's what I was told as a kid. No, it's me. Relax. What would you have said if that was the first time? Ta-da! Told you so. Why are y'all looking? I told you I wouldn't be in the tomb. Jesus has this uncanny ability to tell the disciples what they need to hear. And what they needed to hear was shalom, peace. I'm here. Your hearts are worried. Your minds are confused. Be still. I'm here. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd be scared and hurt and worried all at the same time? You would fall, and the fall would scare you, and maybe your arms hurt, but you don't know how bad it's hurt, so you don't know what to do, so you just cry. And when your parent comes in, they say, well, what happened? What's wrong? And you can't, you're trying to tell them everything at the same time. And all you get out is, right? That's all you can get out. How many of you, if I gave you permission, would stand up and say, I just, because you don't have words. Life is impossibly hard. bumper sticker says, get up early, jog, die anyway. And it's not that there's just one day where you'll die. There's all kind of little deaths, aren't there? Relationships are lost. Marriages fray. Dreams don't work out. Careers fizzle. And we find ourselves, like the disciples, locked in an open room, afraid somebody is still out to get us, and we don't know what to say. And Jesus comes to you. I tell you all the time that the good news of the gospel is not that you found Jesus. Jesus finds you. It's not the shepherd who was lost. It's the sheep. And standing in that upper room, Jesus tells the disciples and tells all of us who will follow behind, nothing will keep me from getting to you. Paul would write later, what can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus? Neither life nor death. Not death or any of the little deaths that come with it. Nothing will keep Jesus from coming to you. And telling you it's time to get busy. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And they went. Peter was crucified along with Paul, but Peter was crucified hanging upside down. Paul was beheaded. Thomas, we think, died in India. Matthew died in Syria. James died in Jerusalem. On and on the list goes. We think only John died of natural causes of old age. John was exiled to Patmos. And there he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he appeared to me. Not one of the disciples ever changed their story. Not one of them ever recanted. Now, I know it's Easter. It is popular to have all the books now discounting Christianity, the lost books of the Bible. We didn't lose them. We threw them away. We've known about those books for years. We read them. Go, this is not right. This is not authentic. And we threw them away. If we were known the world was going to dig that deep in the trash, we'd have buried them deeper. We didn't know. We threw them away. They're not new. There's always the thing that Jesus really didn't die. That he just passed out. And when he put him in the tomb, he came back to life, got out of the tomb, found Mary Magdalene, married her, and moved to the south of France. That is a real story, people. There are people teaching that. You got all kinds of problems with that. One, the Romans were professional killers. They would have made sure he was dead. We have people who carried his dead body and buried him. And we have people who witnessed the resurrection, and we have a tomb that is still empty. Nothing will keep him from you. And for some of you, that's some tough news, isn't it? Oh, sure, you came to church, but you came here thinking that this would be the last place Jesus would look for you. Right? Sometimes the best thing you can do is hide in plain sight. Because you know if he comes, there are going to be some things you need to deal with. Kind of like Peter. But Jesus came anyway. Not to condemn, not to judge, but to rescue. Jesus is not hunting you to destroy you, judge you, condemn you. Beat you up. He's searching for you in desperation to rescue you. For some of you, it is good news. The only thing you know is how tired you are. How tired you are hiding from what happened in your past. How tired you are from having to deal with the mistakes you made, how tired you are about trying to be somebody you're not, how tired you are to keep on lying. It is the truth that will set you free, and that truth won't let death keep him from you, even in this moment. So he comes. Same word to the disciples he has to you. Peace. Shalom. It is finished. Death is conquered. There's nothing for you to worry about. I'm the Lord of life on this side of death. I'm the Lord of life on the other side of death. So all the meaning and all the purpose comes from this moment of resurrection. And this moment is given to you. Just as Jesus came to the disciples so long ago, he now comes to you. Not to condemn you, to rescue you. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to do anything to put you on the spot. But this may be a good time to get that card we gave you and finish filling it out now. Here's what I'm praying about. Here's what I need somebody to talk to me about. Just give us a way to contact you and we will follow up, I promise you. Drop it off at one of these stations that you see, the prayer stations. Maybe find one of the ministers, one of the counselors and say, hey, here's what's going on. For some of you, it's as easy as becoming a member of Brentwood Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you as part of our family. For others of you, it's a little tougher. Only thing you're aware of right now is how you've messed up. And it just can't be that easy that you tell the Lord you're sorry and things be better. Listen, don't hear that it is easy. Hear that it is impossible for us. What Jesus did for us, we cannot do ourselves. But he died for your mistakes, so that you're free from the consequences and the pain of that mistake. And his resurrection gives you hope and purpose and meaning you didn't even know was real, but is yours now for the asking. I know I'm saying a whole lot, just a handful of words. That's why our ministers will be hanging around those prayer stations, so you find one of them. Just tell them you want to know more about what Mike is talking about. They'll pick it up from there. However the Lord has come to you this morning. He's waiting for you where you are. The church will wait for you as you come. Lord Jesus, every life is now open, every heart. We pray. The decisions we make are exactly what you want.